Item three is a rezoning at 67 Furmore Avenue under file DAZ 234 of 2014. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Namely, item four is a variance at 67 Furmore Avenue under file DAV 168556 of 2014D.
Okay, so for items number three and four, we have Jeff Daly and Nicole Beauchance, who are the applicants. If you could come down to the podium, please. Super, and if you could state your name and address for the record, and go ahead and speak.
Nicole Beauchane, 55 Glenthorne Crescent.
And I'm Jeff Daly, and same address, 55 Glenthorne Crescent.
Okay. So if you'd like to just give us a bit of an overview from your perspective.
So we just have a few things, two things that we wanted to share with the
Member of the Council. I'll hand them over. You can start reading if you want.
Okay. So as I've stated in my letter of intent, I'm an occupational therapist and I run a private practice. So I think that's the first thing I want to clarify, because it seems like I've spoken to about three or four people over the past year trying to explain what I do, and I went from massage therapy to counseling clinic to occupational health clinic. So I just want to clarify that I've run my business since 1998 and always been based out of St. Vital. And in 2009, I moved my clinic space to my existing home, which I've included a picture for you to see. Just so you can get a sense that that's our family home, but the little part in front of the house is kind of where I call my business. And it's come to the point where we just really need to remove our business out of the house, just for privacy and separation and things like that. So essentially just the basis of the business, which is why I included the brochure, is to show that as an occupational therapist, we are assisting people in the community post-injury. So we see people at home, at work, at schools. We are not like clinic-based, so everything we do is out in the community, and we service all of Manitoba. So as such, I have a small group of associates who have home businesses, but the basis of why I need a space is essentially to have my office manager who answers the phone, does all the administrative work, and to house 18 years of clinical files, equipment, things that we need to give out to patients that we see. And so while I state in my letter, there's, as you can tell, there's no commercial signage. There's nothing to show that it's a business. It's just mainly to house a location for one main staff member that's there Monday to Friday. So when I bought the house at 67 Furmore, after looking for almost 5 years of space, we thought the intent of it would be a little bit easier in terms of trying to get it zoned commercial, simply because we thought we're doing it out of our existing home already, that it shouldn't be such an issue. But in assistance with the city, we initially had applied for C1 zoning, and then we were told that the parking structure or something didn't fit with that criteria, so it applied for C2, which is why we had re-amended our initial application. And my husband has also been in communication with Brian Mays just to kind of explain the intent of what we're trying to do.
I think part of what we want people to know is the fact that is that the business isn't run like a business where you have high traffic. There's not cars coming in and out. There's not deliveries of equipment. There's not commercial trucks or anything like that. It's our secretary sitting there and kind of managing our files. And what I mean by managing files is that she will pass out the files to staff that are working in the community. And they work in the community, meaning they don't work in the house, they work in the community. And as we said earlier on about our current location, is we have a blended family of six children, so we have kids that, we have children that share bedrooms, and now they're of an age where they can't share anymore because they're too old. Anyways, so we need the space. That's why, or else we would stay where we are. And it's been very functional for us. I mean, it's very helpful to have a home-based business because, well, you just go to work, and it's kind of a nice change. But at the same time, the functionality of it, unfortunately, because of the growth of our family, or fortunately, how you want to see that, we need the extra space. So that's sort of what put us on this path. And we certainly have tried to meet all the requirements in terms of all the questions that were presented to us, in terms of variances, et cetera, different zoning requirements to make this work. And with this very little impact on the community, as we have in our own, we have not had any complaints from any of our neighbors at any time about anything that we have coming out of our current home, current location. And if anything, we've built relationships with those neighbors. And, you know, it's been, there has been no impact. So we presume that if this was something we'd go forward with, that we'd have the same relationship with the same premise of what the business does in terms of the community base of it. And the community base of what we do in St. Vitale, or for the whole province, is having a business in St. Vitale, remaining there. We're active members in the community, so it all makes sense to us. I mean, we don't need, you know, 7,000 feet of building. We need just something that's functional, and but something that represents what we do in the community. We're in the community, so we're trying to be a part of that, and that's been our focus and our hope the entire time.
Okay, any questions, Councillor Mays?
Well, you guys have had a long road to get here, I have to say. I admire your persistence and your energy, and we have talked, but it was before something was filed, so I don't think I'm conflicted out on this one in any sense. This is a very unusual matter, in my experience, that coming forward without concurrence of the planning department, but you're certainly well within your rights to do it, and you've certainly shown great belief in the project. Can you, I know the site, and I think my colleagues probably do too, but just flesh out for us, this to me seems different because it's on Fermor as opposed to, say, Regal or Crystal or somewhere that's just north of that, given the nature of the street that you're on. So can you just explain why this isn't the two-lane residential type street you're trying to drop something in on here? Talk about the nature of Fermor, maybe.
Well, since, like I said, I had space in St. Vitale for over 10 years, and then I wasn't able to renew my list. So we looked for space in St. Mary's and St. Anne's for almost 2 years. And I really had no location but to do what I did at home, because we're not, like, while St. Mary's and St. Anne's is kind of near where we live and all of our children go to school and do things, like I've always said, I don't say coming here for therapy. I don't have anything that has to blow out to every single person going to work to say, here I am, I'm clinic. So the whole problem with it is finding something that's reasonable. We think we put offers on two or three commercial homes on St. Mary's and St. Anne's in that two-year period, and we lost every single one. So it's not from lack of trying. The only reason it came up is because we've been asking our real estate agent to look for commercial property, and nothing has come up. Like, again, I don't need to pay $1 million for something that's on store frontage, again, because all of my client is in insurance-based work, so they all know me from my work over 20 years. So we were just trying to find something in the area that could be discreet. Why did we pick Fermor? I think it just came up. I looked at it and said, this would be great.
Well, part of it is that in terms of residential spaces, as opposed to trying to rezone a house that we could buy in inside a community, is the fact of, you see, Fermor has a very small residential footprint. Across the street, you don't really have neighbors across the street, per se. On either end of that street, you're seeing, like you got a Hurry Lube at one end, you've got a hairdresser at the other, and you're seeing the houses being torn down and multiplexes being built. And we're not trying to change that image on the street. We're keeping the same facade. Whatever requirements we need to make to change the house to make it so that it meets the requirements as the zoning requires, that's fine. But we want to do that with as little impact as possible. And so that the house still remains as a functional house, per se. Because I don't think my wife wants to work for the next 20 years and eventually want to retire and want to sell the house as a house. But in the next 20 years, I mean, being the fact that that's such a small street, and you're seeing the changes on St. Anne's and St. Mary's, I mean, all the way down St. Anne's and St. Mary's. You're not just seeing it, like, from like, you know the where it sort of forks out. You're seeing it all the way down to Bishop, where you've got businesses all the way down. So it the impact that we felt and the opportunity we felt was this had had less impact on the community than a house that's found inside on a residential street and then try to rezone that, which to us really wouldn't make a great deal of sense, and we would really felt we'd have no open heck for that to happen. But here we thought, well, you know, we're not in the business of knocking down houses and building new structures. We're in the business of keeping the community the way it is and then working the community. So we're not trying to change that part of it. But if you see on that street, the two big multiplexes on each end, on the one end, they take up the entire lot, which changes the look of that street considerably. But even you see on St. Anne's and St. Mary's, people are having businesses in homes and keeping the look of the house so it still looks like a house. And that's really our goal. That is our goal. I mean, it's not, just as we have, we showed you pictures of our own home. If you could drive by our house 20 times, and you're not going to see it look like a business. Like, there's nothing from the outside or that would ever indicate to you that there's a business there that's, you know, very, very successful and making an impact on the people that it serves.
Have you spoken with the neighbors on either side?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Have you spoken with the neighbors on either side? We haven't yet.
We did that for our home because that's what the city had asked for us, and that was one of the questions I had asked Michelle Ho at first. I'm like, well, do we go to the neighbors and ask? And she just said that wasn't part of the requirement, so we'd be happy to do that because that's what we did on our existing street.
We did, in our existing property, we did the people behind our house on both sides and across the street.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it sets a precedent, right? It's right in the middle. I know the area well, too, so. Mm-hmm. I'm firmer. Councillor Mays?
Yeah, maybe the administration could walk us through the point that you raised, because when I saw this, I was a bit surprised that it was C2,
right.
But there's an issue here with the parking structure that... Maybe you can clarify that for us?
I think they were directed to go to a C2 rezoning because they wanted to keep the garage, and that was going to be considered a parking structure. So if that seemed...
Yeah, she said we had two choices, because
right.
I think Michelle just said, her email said to me, oh, I ever saw about this parking issue, because she said, well, you could access it from the back lane. So we just talked it out, and I said, whatever you think. So she gave us two choices. We'll apply for C2, and then we'll just increase the variance or rip down the garage. Well, based on what Jeff just says, if I'd like to sell this in 15 years as a house, I would think the garage would be a nice selling feature.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to keep it as residential. Like, if I was buying a house and there used to be a big, nice two-car garage, I'd much rather buy that than... So that's why we kind of went with C2, just for the parking thing, and she says, well, we'll just park in the garage. That's how it read.
Well, we went through all the details in terms of even building a structure around the garbage cans, raising the fence levels where they need to be raised, putting in some, I think she said, some landscaping, bush, mm-hmm. in certain part back.
The bike racks, the garbage, all that thing.
I mean, well, certainly we'll meet those requirements. I mean, but again, at the end of the day, the actual house remains the same.
I have a question for the administration. Why C2? Wasn't there a conditional use or something that could be explored in this kind of situation?
No, it would be one or the other. Basically, the options are C1 would be the lowest, intensity zoning category that they could have applied to, which they had mentioned, but with the desire to keep the garage for the, as they've explained, for the longer term use of the property, it was the accessory parking structure is what it was being deemed in zoning. So it was, you know, in some ways a technicality in terms of the parking structure being the garage. The only other way that they could make this somewhat of a commercial property is what they have in their existing situation, which would be a home-based business, and that could be a conditional use under the current zoning. But they wanted it as a full-blown business operation, so they needed a commercial zoning category of some sort. So that's essentially C1 or C2 is all they could have applied for.
And what
but
is
can I just say, why would you add, say it's a full-blown business operation versus what we currently have?
I was just going to ask the same question.
Because they're not living there.
Pardon?
Because they're not living, a home-based business by definition.
Right. Oh, because you need to live in the...
We have to live in the residence for yes. that to be a C1, is the way I understand it, right?
Okay.
So yeah. A home-based business, as per, yeah. you know, the yeah. term, you live there, it's a home.
So yes. could you have home a C1, C1 zoning with a conditional issue around the garage then, if that's the only issue for C2?
Well, that wasn't the only issue, though, from our perspective, so...
Yeah, and well...
For administration... All right. Unless you want to continue.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like we, when we met with Michelle, I think we tried to identify every one of those issues based on the number of variances that were required to meet the requirements, right? And so I mean, to me, it seemed like C1 was right out the window at that point in time. It wasn't even a potential option for us. I mean, I think we even talked about a conversation around only allowed one car to park in the garage. Mm-hmm. One in the driveway, and then anything else beyond the street or something like that. There was all kinds of different things that, you know, for us who are not in the business of zoning, it gets kind of confusing, right? Because we're like, you know, how far the garbage tank goes back? Do I move the fence back? Do I tear down the garage? Do I keep the garage? Like, I think we've been, you know, pretty patient and kind of like trying to, you know, adapt all the variances and requirements as we go along, trying to just kind of go with the flow, you know, saying, okay, if that, you know, switching from C1 to C2, which is fine, but then we really heard a lot about the variances, which I have to say are a little confusing mm-hmm. at the best of times. I think even for Michelle, it was confusing flicking through that book trying to figure out where they all met, right? So, and she's confused, and then we're really confused. So, but at the same time, it seems like for us anyways that it still meets the requirements of what we're looking for even with the variances in place, like if that is what the route that we had to take.
Just going back to the question.
Mm-hmm. So the original, well for me, well going back to, I don't know if it's an original question or not, would there be a situation where there could be a C1 designation with conditional use?
It could be, but this one it was a counseling clinic, and that would just be permitted. So
but
it's not
a counseling clinic.
Sorry, under the definition of the zoning bylaw, as it's being read, I know what to,
okay.
it's occupational
yeah.
therapy, but
right.
in the broad definition that the zoning bylaw provides, it's being deemed a counseling.
Well, clinic. And then my next question is, if it is rezoned to C2, if there was exchange of ownership, like could this be turned into like a pizza shop or something like that?
Yeah, without,
with that type of zoning.
Right. That's, I mean, it's the bundle of rights. It's not, it's the location, the specific characteristics of the properties surrounding this, in this area where they've purchased the site, that we're opposing, whether it's C1 or C2.
So if it is C2, and I understand that they have their current use that they would want out of it, but if it did change hands, then the use could change with all of those other
right.
zoning rights that go with C2.
Right.
Could you give a few examples of the types of things that
sure.
would be allowable under C2?
Well,
and then my follow-up question would be, would it be possible to look at a C1 application with conditional uses?
Well, the bundle of rights for C2 is relatively... flexible in terms of commercial uses that would be permitted on there, and it's a pretty strong category for retail. I mean, I could go through a list of a bunch of the different uses,
Just a few examples to begin.
Sure. Okay. Drinking establishment, restaurant, call center, or sorry, not a call center, an office, personal services. There would be no restriction on the counseling clinic or medical clinic, retail sales. I mean, some of these will also be permitted in the C1 zone as well, but at the same time, it's the C1 zone will have more conditional uses, generally speaking, and more uses that aren't permitted than the C2 zone.
Right.
It's less less forgiving for commercial developments.
So then going back to the C1 question, if it was C1, would there be condition, given the use that the applicant wants, would there be conditional uses that would allow for what they want to do with a C1 designation?
That would be a permitted use still as well under C1. It's being deemed as part of the broad definition of medical, dental, optical, or counseling clinic. And again,
so it seems to me if we wanted to go down this path, I mean, that perhaps is something that we might. I mean, if C2, it seems to me, is going two steps in that direction, whereas C1 with conditional uses would be, I mean, allowing what you want to do, but going, I guess, less far in terms of what is currently the plan for that neighborhood. Okay.
Yep.
Could I just ask?
Right. And can I just go back to why C2 then? That was just what was suggested at the time when you're talking to the administration?
That wasn't
she says, I realize C1 zoning districts don't permit structured parking as an accessory use. So if you go through C2 zoning, you can keep the garage and we just change the variances.
But she also,
or option two, get rid of the garage.
It would make like what kind of what you're saying is if it was a C1 conditional use of the garage, for example, whatever the requirements would be, that would make sense to me versus the C2 intense. Because we don't need the full-blown C2 requirements. I mean, you know, we're not opening an auto body shop or anything like that. It's like, you know, it's just a replication of what we have in many ways other than the fact that we don't live there.
So going back to that, so C1 plus a variance would allow for what they're looking for? Because of the garage question?
No, I think the reason why it was directed to C2 is because the accessory structure wasn't permitted, or the parking structure being the garage in this instance. They're reading it by the definition.
So C1 plus conditional, conditional use would allow for the garage?
I think in the conversation that they had, and I'd have to double check on this because I didn't check on this specific part, but I think it was, from what they had described, it was that they'd otherwise have to tear down the garage, and they wanted to keep the garage. This is what the intent was. If they went with the C1 zoning, it wasn't a parking structure, so they were recommended that they would take down the garage in that instance, and if they wanted to keep the garage, it'd be a parking structure.
So if it was C1, then we just tear down the garage and then build it when we want to sell it.
Right. But our,
we still have to rezone this.
Pardon?
Then we'd still have to rezone.
There would still be a rezoning required because it's zoned for residential use only. It's R1M currently.
Do people ever use it under a specific zoning category, such as C1? Let's say if I'm going to have my practice for another 10 years, and then prior to selling it, the condition would be to zone it back residential to make sure that it doesn't go? Okay.
The bundle of rights runs with the land.
But is there potential that based on what you're seeing in terms of the area, and the fact that there's that service road in the front, that you can see more people like us coming forward and looking at this as an option? I'll give you, for example, is that our real estate agent called me and asked me if we had the rezoning done, because there was a chiropractor looking to put his practice on that same street. So I don't know if we're the only people going down this road. I think, that's what I'm saying. So in 10 years, things could change, because I think when St. Anne's and St. Mary's was first developed, it was all residential. I never thought there would be the type of businesses or the number of businesses that they currently have now. So it's hard to say 10 years from now where we look. I understand your point in saying, you know, is there inherent risk in making that switch now and never being able to flip it back? Well, I don't know. Like, I can't predict the future, and I, I'd probably be in a different business as I could. But I do see that there are people, because of what we experienced trying to find a place in that area, along even in St. Boniface and all over, to try to find a place that would be somewhat suitable and without, you know, being a bit like an office building per se, right? And I don't necessarily want to become a landlord with multiple units. I'm trying to just have it so it's like we have now, because it's very manageable.
I had a question, which was just, if I can ask you, just can you confirm there's a paragraph in here that the applicant states that the business to be established on the property is an occupation and health practice. Assessments of clients would occur off-site at clients' homes or work environments. Therefore, clients are not seen in the office space. The office would predominantly be used by the applicant and office manager. All of the associates have their own home offices. So is that accurate? Do you agree with those statements?
Yeah, so all of the prime, like I have therapists that work for me, and they all have offices out of home. What they only need the office for is to come and get clinical files, like patient files. So they might come in for 5 minutes, get a file. They might check their email real quick. But, you know, sometimes they're up north for 4 or 5 days in any given week. So I kind of state that, meaning that they do all the reports and their charting and everything off-site. But I still need a housing location for all of my supplies, which is why my office manager is there to do all of that. But they still need somewhere to go to get all the things, all the therapy things we need for people. I can't ask them to store all of the equipment and supplies and all the files in their own home. So that's how I've run my business for 18 years, essentially.
So really, I mean, you're saying this is more cost effective to buy this property and this house and have that for your operation than renting a facility?
Than renting? Mm-hmm. I rented for 10 years, my first 10 years of practice and leasing, and then I got kicked out of my space. So I don't really want to lease anymore. I don't want to be renting from other people. Mm-hmm. That's why we've been looking for our own space on St. Mary's and St. Anne's, that mm-hmm. we can just manage ourselves, have our own maintenance person on the yard. I don't want to have renters, you know. I just want it to just be ours, and I don't want to be renting for just economically. It doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm.
Well, so the last time what happened was that the building owners wanted to expand their business and gave us 30 days to get out. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, 30 days isn't a lot of time to move, and it creates a lot of upheaval just from the operational standpoint, mm-hmm. and then trying to actually get everything out of there and move to our basement mm-hmm. of our house, mm-hmm. which even complicated things even more. So we don't really want to live that experience again if we don't have to. I mean, there's of course an investment for us, obviously, mm-hmm. you know. And as business owners, that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Leasing is an option too. But that comes as a premium. So it's, I mean, we're still paying to be there because we have a mortgage.
But for the leasing, we looked at tons of spaces, but because they're on St. Mary's and St. Anne's with big, huge signs, they're $3,000 or $4,000, $5,000 a month. I don't need that. I don't get people off the street. So why would I pay that just to be in the area that I live? That's the concern.
There's no walk-up traffic.
Yeah. Back to the administration, I understand your current uses and your current plans, but I guess I'm going back to what happens if, you know, operations change, like could there be, I'm just thinking about, you know, some of the calls we get about parking and things like that from neighboring residences, like I guess these are all things that mm-hmm. we need to consider.
Right. Yep. Our position, be it C1 or C2, was the same.
Was rejection.
Was rejection on the basis is that I think this was raised a couple points ago, is that, you know, sure, it could be argued that Fermor, it's definitely a community regional mixed-use corridor in certain sections, but there's very different sections. One's with more commercial development, and then here's one where it's exclusively residential. The applicants are correct. We have supported some intensification, and I mark in the report that we viewed these as minor intensification to R2, like a one step up to either a duplex, couple of duplexes on the corner at 79 Fermor, being developed, but it's still residential in character, and it's kind of the next step to from the R1 zoning that's there. So we consider that modest intensification for the neighborhood. Going to a full-blown commercial rezoning on a spot basis in the mid-block is very difficult for us to support, even here. If there's some adjacent commercial that we can see that kind of synergy that's already established, then perhaps we could consider a small-scale commercial development. But without having that, it's difficult for us to support under our policies.
Like, my initial reaction or my initial thought is just I'd be more comfortable with C1 than mm-hmm. C2. I don't know how that works in terms of this committee and whether or not we can consider that tonight or not, given the public hearing process. But I don't know about my colleagues, but that's my initial reaction. I don't know how I feel about C1 necessarily, given everything, given the administrative recommendation and things about future use. But those are my thoughts to my colleagues at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are there any other further questions or comments or statements?
Just another question. So just so I'm clear, because, yeah, we seem to have three options, let's say, in front of us, I think all of which we could consider or amend to tonight. We could reject, we could accept C2, or we could amend to... But if we're amending to C1, do we still need the variances? Do we still need need a conditional use on there?
We would have to revisit the aspects for the variances, and the nature of the application may need to change. Zoning agreements are another thing that, as we've seen a couple amendments now, that restrict the property somewhat further that could be considered. If those are considerations by this committee, as there's others to speak in, for opposition to this application. If there's modifications, perhaps an adjournment to take some time to be able to think about what could work is also an option to stand it down for.
Okay, so I didn't realize we still have some more speakers. Yeah. So okay, I'll hold off on my thoughts then for a bit.
Okay, all right. So no other comments on this? No one else to speak? Is there anyone else to speak in support of the application? All right, so please have a seat. So moving on, I would like to please call on Mr. Brad Gould, who will speak in opposition to this application. Good afternoon, Mr. Gould. Please give us your name and address.
My name is Brad Gould. My address is 63 Furmore Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, what would you like to say?
Well, after everything I've heard here, I'm totally opposed to it.
Okay, and tell us more.
Well, the very thought of changing hands with a C2 qualification, mm-hmm. Anything else could come up after that, and you sell a place, and people advertise C2 when they're selling. Another thing, by their own admission, people are wondering, did you get the zoning yet? Because if you get it, I want to get it. Other people are interested, chiropractors, finance, hairstylists, massage parlors. I've lived on that in the house. It'll be 21 years in April. It is a really nice neighborhood. It's a family neighborhood. There are no commercial businesses on Furmore. It is a service road, but all behind us is front and back streets, and there's been a couple of older houses, a lot of them. They all were at one time, but in the last couple of years, there have been a couple of houses torn down and family houses put up. A couple of side by sides down at one end, and a couple of single family homes down at the other end, and there's no commercial businesses on Fermor, and I would really, I'm just two doors down. I would really oppose this completely. That's what I came to say.
Okay. Any questions at all?
I know that, and correct me if I'm wrong in asking this type of question, I'm still carrying my rookie counselor label around, so. Would you be more amenable to seeing a different style of application, like a C1, like we talked about earlier?
No, I don't think so. Because you see, like, there are other people waiting to see if they get the zoning, like, by their own admission. And then there's a lot of older houses on that street that, hey, you know, all of a sudden they might consider selling, or, you know, or just waiting themselves for some kind of a zoning variance like this for them to take advantage of it themselves, you know. I don't see why if a person moves into a neighborhood, why, and then try to change the neighborhood. You know, if you were looking for this type of variance, type of building for that, then you would get what you needed in the first place.
Okay, can I just ask the question in a different way? And is this appropriate, this line of question? Just because I know we have one proposal on the table, and I'm talking about like two different scenarios. If you were given the, if you had a preference between C1 and C2, if those were the only two choices, would you have a preference for one or the other?
Which is the lesser of?
Well, I think what we've heard from administration is tonight is C1 would be, it would permit, I guess, less intense commercial uses than C2.
Yeah, if I was forced, I guess I would take the lesser.
Okay.
But I don't. I'm opposed to both.
Right. I hear that. Yeah.
Councillor Mays.
That was an extremely clear presentation. Actually, we often get people who come a long way around to get, but you've hit a number of major points there. I guess I just want to be clear. I take it your opposition is not so much to these people, not so much to this particular use. It's the resale could equal the ice cream store or something, or a restaurant, or the, well, we heard a whole laundry list of other possible uses. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And rezoning could bring in a flood of others.
Yeah.
And on that, so,
and I understand there may not be the tools at our disposals to do this, but in this particular case of these particular uses that we've heard today from the owners and what they want to do, would that be something that you would be okay with if there was somehow a way to?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. It's a family neighborhood. It really is. I know almost everybody on the whole street. There is no commercial uses.
Mr. Grill, have you spoken to any of your other neighbors, or have you heard any other feedback from?
No, but there's a little sign like this, and it's only been up maybe Wednesday or Thursday of last week, and it's over in the corner, and, you know, it's winter. People aren't walking around like they do. And I haven't heard, and I haven't been around to talk to anybody about it.
I mean, you've been there for what, you said 21?
It'll be 21 years in April.
Are there many long-term residents in the area there, would
yes,
you say?
Yes, there are. Okay. There really are. There's people there that were there before I was. My next-door neighbor, the person between 65 for more, mm-hmm. She's been there before I was there.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add before we?
No, that's it. I think I've said everything.
Thank you. All right, thank you. You can have a seat. All right. Are there any others that may not be registered in opposition that would like to come down and speak? And if not, then could we have the applicants back for any further closing comments? If you have any other closing comments you'd like to make, please come down. You don't have to. Right, right, okay. So just to clarify, you can speak in rebuttal, anything in rebuttal to what Mr. Gould has said. If there's anything you'd like to add, no new information, just any comments you may have in rebuttal.
Okay, the only thing I was going to say is that the signs were up 2 weeks prior as we were indicated to put them up. It was also in the Free Press. So, and we were kind of indicated that there probably would be many, many calls and concerns. And so just by virtue of having only one potential person having the concerns, whether the sign was up or they saw it in the Free Press, to us actually was somewhat appeasing, knowing that it was in the Free Press and it was posted right on Firmer, which is a very high traffic area. So I was just going to state that.
Okay.
The other thing is that, as we said about the C1 earlier on, is that I certainly understand the fear associated with the changing of the area. But if you look at our home right now, nothing, like our neighborhood has remained the same. Nothing's changed. And our neighbors know that our business is there, but there's no other businesses that have popped up along the street with us. I mean, it's a fairly, you know, as much as we said there's one other person looking at a location like that, it doesn't mean that every single person's prepared to go through the process like we are.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So thank you.
And just lastly, I was just going to say in terms of the camaraderie building in the relationship, we only owned the house 1 year prior to moving the business in there. And my office manager knows almost every single person on the street personally, from walking to the mailbox, being outside, way more than I do because I'm just never there. So I think she's built a really close community, being that person that's there every day.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Oh, Councilor Mays?
You aren't operating there now, right? This is at the other location you're talking
about. Our home.
It's our home.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Yeah. That's the picture that we brought for you today.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes. All right. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Anything else? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
You can have a seat.
Well, let me, yeah, I do have one more.
Yeah, sure. Oh, hold on. Councilor Mays has one more.
There's obviously been discussion here of different options. So are you, having the garage is not vital to operation of the business, I take it, it's just something you would, it's of value to you to have the garage? Is that a fair characterization?
Well, I think if we were getting the option, had to get rid of it, we would probably consider that, because as I indicated on the plan, there's just going to be a front office person and maybe a computer area on the first level, but we're going to have a whole basement that we could store files. But like, it's half of our garage right now is full of files from the past 20 years because of the legislation. So it would be a nice to have to store that and secure it, but if not, we would have to really relook at the space for, like I said, therapy-wise, some of it's big equipment, like a therapy ball and stuff like that. So that is our option.
Okay.
We'd like for to have that.
It's not a complete game changer, for sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or such that you may have? All right. Councillor, okay. Sure.
If we're going to vote on this now, I'd just like to say that I would be more comfortable considering a C1 designation, given what we've heard tonight, and given, the potential for, for future use, and that I feel that it's would be more in tune with the community, as I understand it, though it's outside of St. Boniface. Just my comment. I'd be more comfortable voting on that. I don't know if that's possible. That's not what we're being presented with. So,
right. So the options that could be considered, of course, are, you could recommend in favor of approval of the application, rejection, which is what the administration option is, or some kind of modification or an adjournment. To consider an option of the next date as well. So again, like a modification could be here, the inclusion of a zoning agreement to restrict the property further, you can go to a downzoning, but with a downzoning, I would have to double check how that reflects on all the variances. That's something that could come into play that might result in all the variances being rejected. I don't think I'd be able to comment on.
Okay, so just to be clear, so downzoning would be like, it would be C2.
Going to C1.
C1.
Yeah.
Right.
Down to C1. So I don't know how that would affect the variances and the nature of the variances and I'd like to confer with others at zoning permits prior to such a recommendation to give you better information on that.
Yeah.
Another option, like I say, is to consider a zoning agreement to restrict the property further. However,
and just again, just to help me out with the decision making process here, but C1 versus C2, C2 can be like, it can be a restaurant, it can be
auto related uses,
auto use, auto shop on a residential street makes me very nervous.
It's not permitted.
Whereas C1 would be like office space potentially.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple other examples of use?
Yeah, I mean, like restaurants and stuff like that are also...
They're also C1?
Yeah, but they have use-specific standards to them.
Okay.
As well, so...
So it could still be a restaurant?
Could still be a restaurant at C1.
Right.
I mean, and... Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of more of the intensity of the uses. Some of the uses, the auto-related ones, are permitted in C2. And then some of the other ones, if they're permitted in both the C1 and C2 district, often what happens under our zoning bylaws, there's a use-specific standard under C1 that further restricts, say, the size, as an example, of the use. So, let's see, as an example.
Sizes.
What's that called? Like C1.5? Or
no, it's still C1. It's just there's a use-specific standard attached to it in our bylaw.
Okay.
Yeah.
So C1, but only these
I'll
these
give you an example. Yeah. Just okay. One moment. That's a good one. So an office, for example, an office in C1 and RMU has a use-specific standard that limits the square footage to 5,000 square feet, gross square footage, mm-hmm. whereas it's not restricted in any way for C2. So you could have 10, 20,000 square feet.
Yeah.
So there's also that level of differentiation between the two, between C1 and C2.
Yeah. Okay.
And then when it's sold, as I say, it's a C1 and it's sold.
Right. Then it's sold as C1, the rights carry forward. Zoning agreements can be added as a caveat, and that restricts it on title. And just as we saw earlier today, we had two zoning agreement amendments to change that caveat.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an option perhaps there if it's the will of the committee to investigate that.
Mm-hmm. And when it's a C1, it's easier to go to a C2 than when it is an R.
Yeah.
An R1.
Yeah, again, our discussion with the applicant, whether they're bringing a C2 or C1 rezoning forward, we weren't supporting it. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. It was more the characteristic of a mid-block rezoning that we weren't in favor of.
Okay.
So advising them one way or another, we had the same conclusion.
Yep.
So whatever application that they wanted to submit forward was two of the same in some ways in our mind.
Okay.
Just some more comments as you're talking. Like, I'm just thinking about my own community and mm-hmm. how I would react if somebody said, your neighbor wants to create a home off, an office. There's not going to be much change in terms of how it's used today, but then knowing that could become an auto body shop mm-hmm. in the future would not make me feel very confident, or would not make me feel good. So mm-hmm. anyway, I just wanted to make that comment.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
You want to say something?
Yeah, I'll make some comments here, which is everyone's done their job here, and everyone's actually done it pretty well. I think the applicants have been consistent and have been clear on what they want and have been respectful I think the public service has said, look, these are the tools we have, so we are not going to go for this. We don't really believe in this spot-specific zoning. I think Mr. Gould made a pretty good representation of what the downside risks are. Personally, I don't mind the concept of this. I don't mind doing. I probably wouldn't support a lot of site-specific stuff. If this was a block north, we probably wouldn't be here. But I'd see Firmore as kind of different in character. I can certainly understand what Councillor Allard is saying, though. It did surprise me this came forward as C2 after the famous, we spent hours in here on the auto body C2 issue on St. Anne's Road that just seemed to take multiple meetings. And so if I can not go down that road again in this career, that would be just fine by me. But before we move anything formally, personally, I would be prepared to do the C1. I don't know what sort of agreements or variances we need on it. It does seem to be almost willfully bureaucratic to say, we're okay with you doing this, but tear down the garage, which is not the issue anyone is concerned about. It's just sort of part of the bureaucratic requirement here. But if that's the cost of doing business, I suppose that's literally the cost of doing business. So those are my thoughts. I don't know, Madam Chair, if you... I'm happy to move something, but I appreciate what Councillor Allard was saying, but seeing if we can come up with something that would work here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as a general reflection, it's I guess it's kind of an eye-opener for me to see the limitations in some of the tools that we have at our disposal. You know, in terms of, you know, we'd be okay with this particular use at this particular time, but there doesn't seem to be a way for us to grant that particular use at this particular time without transferring these bundle of rights to the next person. So it's been a learning experience for me so far.
I don't know if also if it's just a matter of the if the C1 were granted, if the variance would just be null and void and a new application would have to be made regarding the parking and all that kind of stuff. Again, that's something I would prefer to have time to confer and get some. I don't have a good answer for that right now, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't I, and Madam Clerk, you may need to walk me through, why don't I move a motion then, and we'll see where things end up. Well, the first few items. So I'll move that the reports of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Carried.
I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And again, Madam Clerk, you can correct my phrasing here. I'll move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service not be concurred in, and instead that the administration be advised to be tasked to come back with a report on C1 zoning and what
you can actually just adjourn it, and then Rob would come back with that information at the next meeting. So you could adjourn it to our March 9th meeting, and by then Robert would have the accurate information for you to actually decide on if you would like to continue with changing it to a C1, or if you wanted to do something else with it. So instead of just like not concurring in it and then still leaving that decision to the administration, it would be best just to adjourn the meeting. You've concluded public representation, so you would just adjourn it to next month, and then you would have he could even send a revised report with that information.
Okay. So, well, I'm not interested in wasting a month of everyone's time, but I get the sense that at least Councillor Allard is, we're both at least interested in hearing about the C1 and what we might be able to do and box this in as much as we can, but still allow these folks to operate their business. So I'll move then that we do I need to adjourn based on certain conditions then?
You, you can just adjourn it to our March 9th meeting at 5 o'clock.
But with the understanding that a report will be out?
You don't really need to make a condition. You can just adjourn it. And then once the report comes forward, it would be part of our public record, and we would say a revised report.
How do you know to investigate the C1? How do you know to investigate the C1 aspect of it?
So, well, I mean, he is here, so he does know that that's okay. He has to bring forward.
I guess you could make those purposes.
Yeah, you can make a condition if you'd like.
Okay, well, that might clear up for the record. Okay, so I'll move that we adjourn this matter to the March 9th meeting of the Riel Community Committee at 5 p.m. On the understanding that the administration is to report back on potential rezoning to a C1 zoning and what implications that would have in terms of variances, potential zoning agreements, or other related matters.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. All right.